We're looking at John chapter 4, verse 35, where Jesus says, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Let's just bow our heads and ask God's blessing on this passage today. Thank you, Lord God, for your word and for this passage that we can look at. We pray that you will bless the meditation that we have together upon your word, reading it, listening to something of it being explained. And we pray, O Lord God, that you will help us to be encouraged and challenged and built up as a result of our time together this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So John chapter 4, verse 35, and the fields that are ripe for harvest. One of the memories I have as a child in primary school was playing in our primary school football team, and as we would take on other primary schools in the district, we really depended on one of our own. He was a star player for us, and he would score all our goals, and he would run down the line, he would turn defenses inside out, he would make the whole game something that we'd have great confidence about winning, because he was our star player. Unfortunately, when he wasn't playing for us, our team was not so successful and did not have that key component to scoring the goals and winning the game. In fact, we realized that we had been leaning on him for doing everything, and we weren't doing what we should have been doing in our own roles. We had just left it to Kenny. His name was Kenny. And if he had been doing his job, we could have just sat back. But when he left, when he wasn't there as part of the team, we realized that we had to step up to the fore, and we had to do our role properly if the team was to work. And sometimes the criticisms of sports teams is that they do lean too much on one individual. And we can think of teams that lean on, for example, Ronaldo or Messi or certain individuals. And unless the rest of the team plays their proper role to their full potential, then the team doesn't work very well, and it particularly won't work when these individuals are missing. And I think probably what we can take from this passage this morning in John chapter 4, verse 35, is that Jesus is talking to the disciples and saying there's a teamwork component. There are fields that are ripe to harvest, and he's thinking of the communities in which his people live and operate. And the workers that are needed are the Christians, and they're to work through their churches, and God has given them this privilege and this duty to be part of a team, to do something together. Now, it speaks of a team because Jesus talks about harvesting, and we know that this isn't a one-man job. A harvesting involved a team. It was a work unit, and as Jesus put this whole mental picture to the people who were listening, to the disciples and anyone else who would hear as a result, this whole idea was there is a team in which each component needs to work. Now, there were those who scythed. I don't know if you're familiar with a scythe. If you think about today, we're so mechanized. We have machinery that does all this, and maybe one person sort of drives the combine harvester, and there might be someone else who's going alongside with a tractor and trailer. But the whole point is, in the past, they had to have people who had scythes, and they would be swinging the scythe and cutting the corn or whatever was to be harvested. There were those who collected it. There were others who bundled it, and there were those who loaded the carts and drove the carts to the barn. And there at the barn, there might have been others who unloaded and stacked the harvest as it was loaded into the barn. there was not what we have today, a mechanized or technological way to do these things without the use of many people. And Jesus is telling the disciples, here is a teamwork figure, an image that you are to be part of, and it needs all hands to the deck. It needs everyone to be part of it. So we might consider this morning the question, why the teamwork figure? Well, maybe we take this from the very nature of what God is like. And we know that the team is made up of different people playing different roles, each one contributing to the work of a project. And as we look at God, we see that he is a triune God, that there is diversity in the unity of the Godhead. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit, each one equally God as the other. None more so God than the other. And as each one has their role and their position and their activity, they work together in perfect harmony and in perfect unity. There is diversity in the unity. And Jesus is looking at the disciples before him and sees their diversity and calls them to unity so that they will work as a team in the work of the gospel. Why the teamwork figure then? Because God essentially presents to us in the Trinity that perfect model of teamwork. Well, what's required then? What is required in a team? What is required in what Jesus is saying? Well, it would not do for anyone involved just to daydream about the work to hand. Maybe they were thinking about everything else rather than what was essentially before them. If you think about someone on a sports team, the equivalent would be sitting at the side and wishing that they could take part when all the time they could take part, there was a role for them to play. Sometimes we can be guilty of sitting at the side of the field, so to speak, as Jesus uses the term, and we may be dreaming of a good old days, the times that were the golden era of church. And yet I suspect that the golden era of church was just as fraught with difficulties and challenges as it is today. Times move, but certain things don't change, and that is the church is a living organism, and it focuses on its task, and it has to work together as a unit. Imagine what Jesus is saying then. He's not saying to the disciples, oh, you should just hark back to the times when God was blessing Israel hundreds and hundreds of years ago. You should be thinking of then, and that's all you should be doing. No, he's saying now is the time for activity. Now is the time to be together. Now is the time for teamwork. And now is the time to advance. So equally, the Bible tells us that we're in a spiritual war. So it's not just the figure of people working in a field, but there's the spiritual war, which suggests a military aspect, and yet we're not captainless. We have Jesus as our captain, and we have roles to fulfill. So imagine the intel that goes into preparing armies for activity. Imagine that there's something that has to be advanced upon, and the weathermen misread the conditions and send, as a result of their information, they send the army into a hurricane condition or into inappropriate weather. Or the munitions, if they're not kept dry, so to speak, if they're not guarded, if they're not right up to date, if they're not loaded properly, each person in that army has their gift, their role. Each person in that team has a place and a role to play. So we can ask a question, why the teamwork? Well, God is a perfect example in the Trinity. What is required? Well, the requirement is that we don't just sit at the side, that we actually take part in the team, and we have to play to our role, to the gifts that God has given us and granted us. What are the roles? Some of you might be wondering, what can I do in a church? What can I do if this team that Jesus is talking about is being called together to work. What can I do? Well, very clearly, there are aspects that are more pious in a sense than others, but we could consider prayer time, we could consider teaching, evangelism, and so on. But let's remember the roles of hospitality. Let's remember the role of welcome. Remember the role of singing and encouragement and all these different aspects of church activity where everyone can find something to do. Now, if a football team or a sports team needs all the players playing to the best of their abilities for the team to succeed, how much more so should we be considering that in the church? Now, if we think of an army needs all the divisions of the army to be ready, to be fit, and to be willing. When we have a church that is satisfied only to tick over in maintenance mode, but not to advance, it is calling out to us that we should be involved as much as we can as a team, that we need a willingness and a shared vision of the task to hand. And all this because we base what we do on the Bible and we're dependent on God's Spirit to guide us and to lead us. What are the roles in a team at church? Hospitality, welcome, singing, prayer, teaching, evangelism, encouragement. They're all there for us to be part of. And then Jesus in verse 35 seems to indicate there is a danger. There is a danger. Notice the words. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So there is a danger of the holdover approach. A danger of the holdover approach. If we read Jesus' words here, there is a sense of understanding the right time for activity. In this case, for the harvest, to be alert to the right time for the harvest. There's a danger of putting off being involved in the harvest and therefore losing that window of opportunity. And we know the window of opportunity in many cases is a short window, a limited one. And usually it's a short time in harvesting because weather changes. I know any time I've seen harvest, I've seen people expend a lot of energy and they've given their time while the harvest season was going. And a good friend of mine had many fields with crops and he was delighted over the summer if there was this mixture of good rainfall and the sunshine. But as September came, what he was looking for was a consistently dry period so that the crops could be ready to be harvested. And the nightmare scenario was the heavy rains in September that would ruin the harvest for that year. But when they would get this certain amount of days of dryness, of sunshine and drying out, ready to harvest the field, when they would get that, what would you see? You would see every field full of people working away while the time was given to them. If the crop wasn't taken in, the autumn weather would set in and the crop would be lost. The sun, which was warming and strong in the summertime, would begin to hide itself behind clouds, would become distant and further away from the crop and the time of harvest. Now, Jesus points the disciples to the harvest that is before them. And maybe he's pointing us to the harvest that's before us in our communities. It's time for the work of that harvest to be recognized, and maybe the time to work is now. So the first thing is, in Jesus' words, the danger of putting off activity in the church. The second thing is the need to have the blinkers off so that we can see properly. Notice what he says there in verse 35. open your eyes. In other words, they had been closed before. In other words, they were not seeing what was before them. And Jesus was telling the disciples, open your eyes. Older versions of the Bible speak about lift up your eyes and look. And there is a true sense to this. Open, lift up your eyes. The work of the church is not at our feet. Now, we often only see what's limited and restricted. And we think a Christian's role in society is limited and restricted. And maybe we are looking down at our feet and only seeing immediately round about us. And yet Jesus is saying, lift up your eyes, open your eyes to see there's a wider perspective, to see that there's something greater, there's something bigger, there's something beyond the parish, there's something more than the parochial view and the limited view of one congregation. There is a greater kingdom. Look up, open your eyes and see, because then we'll see that the Lord's view, which is greater and it's fuller and it's wider. He says, open your eyes to see the work as it stands before God. And as God tells the disciples, the work, the fields are ripe to harvest. In other words, Jesus is calling the disciples to figuratively sharpen the scythes, oil the cart wheels, prepare the barn. The work is at hand. He's saying, open your eyes, lift up your eyes. You know, when we're looking down at our feet, we are tending to be despondent. We're tending to be self-centered, looking at our own interests. But Jesus is saying to the disciples, open your eyes, lift up your eyes, be encouraged, be positive, be forward-thinking. Look before you to see what is at hand, the roles, the diversity, the needs, the opportunities. Take the initiative. Be flexible. He's saying to the disciples, there's a great work before you. It will require all of you to be part of it. Lift up your eyes. Open your eyes. Be encouraged. See the bigger picture of God's kingdom's work. Open your eyes and be part, therefore, of God's plan, let's say, for Union Church. Open your eyes and be part of God's plan for Union Church now. Could it be that you would reap what others had planted and sown? Yes, Jesus says, the disciples will reap what others had worked so hard for in the past. What is the problem with that? If God has been planting the seed of the good news in many people over the years, maybe the decades of Union Church, and little by little that comes to fruition, that those seeds that were planted years ago now begin to bear fruit, that the harvest begins to take form, praise God that you will have an opportunity to be part of bringing more into the kingdom of God for his glory. The blinkers need to come off. What are blinkers? Well, these were the things that were put over the eyes of horses, weren't they? So that they couldn't see things that might have disturbed them or challenged them or unsettled them. Why should we think as a church we should not be unsettled, challenged, even disturbed by a society that we live in? We have to have the blinkers off. We have to see clearly what's before us. The blinkers need to come off. And then there's a term that Jesus uses of the fields. Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Again, some of you are familiar with other phrases that maybe you learned as a child when you were going through Sunday school and church, where we heard about the fields being white to harvest, or white for harvest. Now, there's two approaches to understanding this term, ripeness or white to harvest, and two sides of the equation. The first is a very clear understanding that the crops take a certain color tone that indicates to the farmers that they're ready to be harvested. So there's a visible aspect to it. In other words, when they're white, when they're ripe, the harvest is waiting. Now, how do we equate that to the work of the church? Who is the harvest? Who is waiting? Who is ripe or white to harvest? Well, surely it's those who have a sense of questions that they're seeking answers for. Surely the harvest are those people that have seen the dissatisfaction of material abundance. Surely the harvest are those who have felt lonely in the midst of a crowd and longed for the friendship of God through Jesus Christ and his people. Surely those are waiting for a message to be acted upon, not just spoken about. So the community around our church, the community of English-speaking people in Lima, when they have a deep down feeling of expectancy that there must be something more, that there are questions that this world has not answered satisfactorily, there is an emptiness in the fullness of materialism. When we see this, we see people ripe to harvest because we have the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel that gives life that is abundant, that takes us away from the loneliness and isolation and joins us with God himself and with his people. And the harvest time is now and is urgent because it's not that we're waiting for this to happen. This is happening all the time with different people. So one side of the coin is the harvest is waiting. The second side of the coin is that the Christian church needs to see not only the potential, but the urgency of the moment. We can see potential, but we have to see the urgency of the moment. What does Jesus say? The fields are white to harvest. They're ripe for harvest. Now they are ready. I wonder if that is the case for our context. Use the tools that are right for the job. Go with scythes, not scissors, to enter into the harvest field. You know, someone quaintly said, a dictionary is the only place where you will find success before work. Here we find that Jesus is saying, there's work to be done, my disciples. He's saying the fields are white to harvest. Teamwork is required. Each one of you must pull your weight. Each one of you must do your role as God has gifted you to do and use this opportunity to bring glory to God through the expansion of his kingdom. Paul may plant, Apollos waters, but it is God who gives the increase. This is the theory of the gospel in practice. Planting, and maybe not seeing the results, but not being too concerned about that. And let's be greatly encouraged that in history there were those who planted and did not see in their lifetime the blessing of their work. But as we know in the scriptures, their work continues, as it were. It testifies to their faithfulness. And maybe the problem with much of the churches throughout the world is the view that is maybe not preached, but enacted, that the harvest should somehow up sticks and walk into the barn by itself. I think we all know that that just doesn't happen. Harvests don't walk themselves into the barn. And if the barn is a kingdom of God localized in the church, then what is Jesus saying to us? He's saying there's much work to be put in. There are tears to be shed. He who, as we saw, sows in tears will reap with joy. There is blessing, there is joy in the work of the gospel, even though there can be tears and hardship and difficulty involved. There's preparation, there's planting, there's weed removal, there's watering, there's work that is done by others maybe before us, but now that work should not be wasted. So Jesus says to you and to me, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And we can joy in God's work and rejoice in it and benefit from that togetherness and that unity and that diversity of all different types of people united to work in the field that is white and ripe to harvest in our community. Let's pray God will bless us in that activity. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the words of Jesus, he who knew all things about the disciples. He knew their personal traits, their fickleness, their individuality, and yet he called them to be part of that team, each one to play their role to the utmost of their abilities, to not depend on one, but to share the work amongst many so that it would be effective. Thank you, Lord God, for the imagery that Jesus used that was so understood and understandable to the day and the age when he spoke it. Lord, we thank you that it still is applicable for us today. And as we consider our community, we see a field, and we know that there are many that make that field ripe for harvest. Help us in that work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.